I was really tempted to give a Super Bowl Sunday Dharma talk, but I couldn't come up with any good ideas.
Thank you.
That's a thank you of gratitude.
Yeah, for not doing it.
That was what I meant. At some point, Bernie Glassman started telling us that there are no truths. There are only opinions. And he somewhat humorously said, so we don't refer to it anymore as the Four Noble Truths. We refer to it as the Four Noble Opinions. So Zen has no absolute truth that gets passed on. It's not something that we think about, or we can think about it, but it's not something to be thought about or believed in. And in fact, it's something that in the end is really ungraspable. And so Zen is a practice that prefers questions to answers. Think about it, a question can open the mind to endless possibilities. A question goes like this. Anything is possible in relation to a question. An answer, if you think about it, on the other hand, tends to take this and bring it here and put it in a box. That's the answer. And if we're not careful, that's the truth. And another problem with creating truths is that we hold on to them. They're very secure to have the truth, to know what the truth is. Now, koan study is an interesting way of dealing with questions and answers, truths and no truths. There are no answers in koan practice. You know, all of the classics. What's the sound of one hand? What's the color of mu? Who is it that's asking these questions? So in Zen, we say about this, don't tell me, show me. Don't give me an answer. Express what is being set forth in a koan. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we started the process of going over all the rituals and the way we do things to try and ultimately, over time, get uniformity. Now, there's at least two ways, but there are two basic ways to do that. One is to sit here and say, well, in the morning we do this bow, when we enter the zendo and we take our place, we do this. And that, in a sense, is very similar to an answer. What do? We do this. We do that. So there's the question, what do? But the answer can also be just simply doing it. So that's the freedom of not having to offer a specific answer. It's an expression of what had been discussed. So Zen doesn't draw any conclusions, and therefore it's difficult to capture in thought. I came across this poem by Rilke. He was a famous poet, and the title of the poem is Living in the Question. And he writes, I would like to beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. And then perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answers. Now we think about the Zen peacemaker and the three tenets of the Zen peacemakers. They don't take up, or we don't take up, if we live our lives with the guidance of the precepts, we don't take up situations right away looking for answers. That's why it begins with not knowing. Knowing seeks a specific answer, but not knowing opens up a very wide field. And then the second part is bearing witness, is just being present to the circumstances. And in doing those two things, what's needed appears on its own. Doesn't have to be figured out. If we just are present, just open to the moment, to the situation, whatever is needed, however we need to use the ingredients of those circumstances, appear for us. So also, you know, in Zen we say when you attain enlightenment, throw it away. That there's nothing to hold on to, not even enlightenment itself. So as soon as we think enlightenment is the answer that we have been looking for, we have lost it. Now this process of not focusing on answers runs counter to everything that we have been taught. Our life has been spent seeking answers in the conventional sense and has limited in a way the way in which we live our lives, the way in which we be in the world. And we're deeply conditioned to find answers, to find solutions, to determine right from wrong, devoting ourselves to a practice that does not focus on answers and is therefore very difficult. Further, when we enter into the process of questioning without being concerned about answers, we are allowing ourselves to become vulnerable, to having the rug pulled out from everything that is comfortable and secure and familiar. That's, for many of us, that's one of the most difficult things about entering in this practice and going deeper, is having to let go of all the answers we have, all the things that we rely on, all the ideas that we use to measure our progress. And Zen asks us to let go of those things, all those answers. And in doing that, there is nothing in the usual sense to hold us up. And falling down becomes inevitable. So it's hard to imagine that staying in this vulnerability, this nothing to rely on, is actually in the end the safest place to be. But the process requires falling down, which becomes inevitable. Now, there's an old Christian story attributed to the Desert Fathers, which touches on vulnerability and the humanity of this experience of going deeper. In the story, a monk asks one of the fathers, "What am I to do since I have fallen?" And the father replied, "Get up." The monk says to him, "I did get up, but I fell again." "Then get up again," said the father. "But father, I did, but I must admit I fell once again. So what should I do?" "Never fall down without getting up," the father concluded. So that's being vulnerable, allowing ourselves to fall down, and getting up, getting up, getting up, getting up. And by doing this, we transform the way in which we live in the world. Famous Indian Zen master Daruma, who was the first person to come from India and establish Zen in China, would often say, "Knock down 7 times, get up 8. So instability and vulnerability are what we let ourselves in for when we let go of the need for answers. So while it can be a difficult, if not scary, experience, the end result can be freedom. Freedom from the tyranny of the mind and the need for answers. Free from the limitations that the mind imposes on us and our relationship with our daily lives. So if we allow ourselves to be vulnerable and let go of this desire, craving even, for answers, we wind up becoming life itself. And living life, I sort of hesitate to use this word, but it's the one that comes to mind, living our life in an intuitive way, as opposed to one that just relies on answers. So does anybody have any questions? Because God knows I have no answers.